As always, the Torah should read it. Initial Master Gershom and Rabbi. We begin this winter season with the Parsha of Noach. As we all know the story, there's a few questions that we could ask on what happened over here and what the Torah relates to us exactly happened in the background to the Parsha of Noach. The Pasuk says like this: the world had become corrupted in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vatimole ha'aretz chamas, and the world was filled with chamas. It's filled with, Rashi says, chamas is gozel, is robbery. And not only that, then the pasuk carries on to tell us that kihishchis kol boser zdarka al ha'aretz, the hashchosa was that there was kilo aroyas, there was shvichas domim. But later on, the pasuk then relates as well, a couple of sukkim later, vayomer akim noach, kates kol boser balafana, you know why I've actually sealed the fate of mankind, ki mala ha'aretz chamas, because the world is full of chamas. It's full of the world has become full of robbery. Lo nechtam gizar dinam elo al hagozel. The whole Rashi says under a musa ba'al olam, indiscriminate punishment comes to the world where you kill both tovim and roim together when there's nus in the world. But the gizar din was nechtam because there was theft. And that's what the pasuk means earlier on, ki mala ha'aretz chamas. And here as well, ki mala ha'aretz chamas mipnei, vatimale ha'aretz chamas. So first of all, what does that mean? And why, first, the Torah also could have said, vatimale ha'aretz gezel, if that's what it really means. And if, why does the Torah use the terminology of chamas? that's the, another part of the question. And then we have, the Torah tells us that Noach was told to build a teva, the dimensions of which should be 300 amas length, 50 amas width, 30 amas high, and the roof should be slanted to a point where ve'al amah techaleno milamalo. It reaches the point of an amah square at the top, and there would either be a window or a turret, but whatever it was, these are the dimensions of the teva. Noach was there for 120 years building a teva. L'chaira, it doesn't take 120 years to build something that's 300 amas by 50 by 30 amas with three floors. More than that, the amount of animals that needed to be contained on the second floor of the table alone were far more than 300 by 50 by 10 can contain. And they each had their own separate compartments. So how was it? Elamai, the whole thing was a nest. And the Rabbeinu Shlomo wanted him to build it for 120 years, not because it took 120 years to build an edifice of a teva. He wanted him to build it for 120 years because 120 years worth of rachamim was still left in the world, where the Rabbeinu Shlomo was being merachim and saying that he was erech apayim, I'm waiting for them another 120 years. But then why these dimensions? There's obviously something very significant about these dimensions that were chosen to have 300 by 50 by 20. So someone suggested to me last Shabbos that maybe 300 by 50 by 20 is the 300 times 50 times 20. Don't remember the exact figure, but it's mispar cotton. I think it's 45,000 cubic amas, which is the mispar cotton of that is 9. And in a world that was filled with sheker, the mispar cotton of sheker is 6. And the word mavels, mispar cotton, he said, is also 6. We can work it out. Mem plus base is 42, plus vav is 48, plus lamed is 78. 7 plus 8 is 15. Yeah, 1 and 6 is 1 and 5 is 6, which is sheker. So the mavel, the world was filled with sheker. You needed to be enclosed inside a teva, which is mispar cotton, was 9, which is the mispar cotton of MS. Okay, that's what that. Rav Shamshon Astropoli says that there's a Gemara in Meseches Baba Kama, Daf Chof Gimel, which says, Eres Nochosh, the poison, the venom of a Nochosh, Bein Shinov Hu Oimed. It stands between its Shinov, between its teeth. Says Rav Shamshon Astropoli, that's actually hinting to us that the word Nochosh, Nun Ches Shin, represents the Yetzer Hara. The Eres of the Nochosh, the Koyach Hora of the Nochosh, Bein Shinov, between the Shin and the Nun. Nun ches shin, it's the ches. It's the letter ches that is the eres of the nachos. The letter shin and the letter nun are actually koyaches of kedusha. The koyach hara is the letter ches. And the truth is, everything in the world only survives because it has some sort of sustenance from a Makari of Kedusha. The whole Ra in the world, the Rebbeinu Shem put it in the world. The Yitzhara, the Rebbeinu Shem put it in the world. The Sitracha, the Rebbeinu Shem put it in the world. The Sultan, the Rebbeinu Shem put it in the world. The Malach HaMavis, the Rebbeinu Shem put it in the world. Why? So that we have Bechira, so that we have choice. It's all there, Mikoyach Kedusha, and it's all there. That's why in the end, everything's going to be Toiv. And we'll be Makirit. So it's Yenika of life is from Koyach of Kedusha. So the eres of the nochosh bein shinov who I made the bad part the venom of the nochosh which is the chelik which we see as ra is the ches part the nun and the shin the koyach of kedusha says Rosh Hashanah Astropoli that so too the samach mem the malach the name for the malach of ra samach mem aleph lamed well we know aleph lamed is the koyach of kedusha so the samach mem is the koyach of tuma so we have a samach and a mem. And a ches from the inside of the nochosh, the letters of chamos. Vatimole ha'aretz chamos. The world was filled with chamos, and that's why it says lo nechtam gzar dinam ela al ha'gozel. Ah, when they saw that there was gezel, there was everything else there as well, but there was also gezel. This the koyach of ra was so bad that people had been mispatled themselves to the ra and had shed themselves completely of any connection with kedusha. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo says the world is filled with the koyachos of ra and without any yanika stopping, preventing itself from having a yanika from kedusha. There's got to be a revamping. How do we revamp it? Well, what are the letters that are left of the koyach of kedusha from nachosh? It's a nun, a 50, and a shin, a 300. So the table is going to be 300 by 50. And from samach mem, you're left with the aleph and the lamed. So it's going to be 30 high. Vel amar techalena min amala. That's the Vilna Gaon finishes that off. And he says, and that's why, based on that, that's why the table had those dimensions. There needed to be a revamping of the world. There needed to be kochos of kedusha, yenika of kedusha to be brought back in the world. And that's why the Rebbeinu Shlom says, build it for 120 years. It's savi going to be a nace, how everyone's going to fit in there. But it's not about the dimensions. It's about the measurements which hint to something so much bigger. Now, the Karam HaTzvi, Reb Tzvi HaShverber, he says something very interesting. When did the Mabul begin? The actual reign of the Mabul, when did it begin? And when did it end? So the Rebbeinu Shlom tells Noach to come in. He says in another 7 days it's going to start. B'chodesh HaSheni, b'shiva oso yoim l'chodesh. In the Chodesh HaSheni, on the 17th day of Cheshvan, it began. It says, when did it finish? On the 17th day of the Chodesh HaShvi. The 17th day of the Chodesh HaShvi, that's when everything dried up. Later on in the parasha, find it והחדש השני בשיעור ארבע עשרה, no, sorry. החדש השני, what is the חדש השני? Rashi makes the chesbon. It's got to have been... Here we are, sorry. התנך התיבה בחדש השני בשיעור עשר יום והחדש על הורי ערור. So... Oh, so this is his diuk. So it began. Where are we? Noach and his family are told to go in on. Sorry. That's in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, right? Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Bishnas Shneish Meir Shana Lachay Noach. Bachodesh Hasheni B'Shiva Osu Yom Lachodesh. Bayom Azen Nivku Kol Mayonis Tohim. When did all the Mayonis Tohim burst open? On the 17th day of the second month. When did the Teva settle? Batonach Teva Bachodesh Hashvi B'Shiva Osu Yom Lachodesh. Is it not significant that it always happens on the 17th day of a month? what's 17? 17 is Gematria Toiv. Toiv. So it began on a day where it resembles Toiv, and it ends on a day which resembles Toiv. Says the Kerem HaTzvi, says the Tzvi HaShverber, that what it's hinting to over here is that there was some goodness that actually was hidden inside what happened at the time of the Mavul. He says, the Gemara Sanhedrin Ayin Aleph says, Sheino la Rishoyim, Hano lahem, Hano la'olam. When Rishoyim are asleep, it's good for them, they're sleeping, and it's good for the rest of the world as well. And so too when they die, it's good for them, and it's good for the rest of the world. She says, in the same way that, you know, sometimes if a limb is dead, and it's actually bringing further death to the rest of the body, it's good if that limb is severed and taken away. There is a good, there's something good hidden inside it. So he says, so to hear, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't show any simcha in being mefarsim, the downfall of Rishoyim. But he hints to it. And he hints over here that there was goodness hidden inside what happened through the Mabul. Because through the Mabul, the world became cleansed. It went through its own hagala. And it got rid of the, he says as well, what happened at the time of the Mabul, very interestingly, he says that the Hashtifa HaGedola Baroischin, the huge hagala that happened in the world made that the goodness in the ground was taken out of the land, so that the fruits afterwards and the produce of the land wasn't as lush as it used to be pre-Mabul. The goodness that was in the food that they took out of the land, remember beforehand they weren't allowed to eat meat, they were only allowed to eat, they were vegans, but the goodness in the land was so good that they were tremendously strong, but as well, besides for that, they were tremendously indulging in Hanos Olam Hazeh. What did the Rebbeinu Shleilam do? Cleanses the world, takes away this goodness from the top three tefachim of the ground, got washed away, got wiped away, the goodness of the land is reduced, and now for people, in order to be able to get to what to eat, they've got to work that much harder, and the food isn't as plentiful, and isn't as strong, and Mimela, that reduces the susceptibility of people to being chayte again. As we know, the biggest gorem of chayte is machal. As we said, v'achal tovasavato v'irachto, hishomru lachem, penifte levavchem. It's always straight away after there is an abundance of food. But he says that was there was goodness in what happened over here. There's a very interesting Shem Mishmur. You know what? Before we get to the Shem Mishmur, I'll tell you there's another fascinating Kerem HaTzvi. He actually says something. He says, there's a sefer, he says, b'sefer habris, Ma'amar Yud, brings from a Chochem Ashkenazi, Mr. Krieger. There's a way of saving yourself from lightning by using an iron rod. Iron rods, yeah, the famous, was it Franklin, what was he called?
Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin, yeah, he came up with the iron rod innovation. Put it at the top of a building, and that way it takes the lightning and takes it down to underground to some sort of the big myth that it does, it's not that it attracts the lightning, it's that when the lightning hits it, it makes it quickly go, it helps it to go quicker down to the earth rather than, okay, so he says over here, how does it work? There's a sefer called Yad HaEmunah. He says that this tachbula that the chachamim in the wise people in relatively recently have come up with, that one can save themselves from the lightning or the thunder by using al yidei barzel or magnet, through using iron rods and a magnet. And so the truth is, Rabbeinu Bachai, he says, who lived in the Meo Harishon of the Elef Hashishi, who lived in the first century of the millennia of the sixth of the millennia that we're in now, Rabbeinu Bachai, one of our Rishonim, in this parsha, he says, do you know what happened at the time of the Mabul? This is how technologically advanced the people at the time of the Mabul were. There's someone told me today, someone who says that they knew at the times of the Dor HaFloga how to power a rocket. They had that chokhmah. The technological chokhmah was there pre-Mabul and pre-Dor HaFloga, sorry. Until the Rabbeinu Shimon reduced the certain amount of the chokhmah they had. But Rabbeinu Bachai over here says that what happened was the time of the Dor HaFloga, we're talking about Dor HaMabul, 2 years later you got the Dor HaFloga, very shortly afterwards. Yeah, Noach lived.
2 years later.
How many years after the Mabul was the Dor HaFloga?
Must have been more than 2 years.
A few years later, not many years later.
Sorry, I thought you said two.
Maybe it wasn't two. I thought I saw something. Chacham Abu.
They couldn't have had that many children in 2 years.
I'm not sure how long after the Mabul was. We'll have to check that up again. But you had the Dor HaFlogah. What was the whole Dor HaFlogah? You know what? They were worried that once every Tov region involved years, the Rebbe Shalom, the skies fall down and the water comes crashing down and there's a Mabul. We've got to prevent it. So we're going to anas emotes la shomayim. We're going to reinforce the shomayim. And according to the Pashtos, they made a tower that scaled the heavens. That went all the way up to the edges of the globe. To the point where Nimrod was able to actually look and see that the world was round. Actually, but Agam, you know why Shemayim? We didn't give a shit. Did we give a shit last week? No. You know why Shemayim is called Shemayim? The Sforna in Paris Voracious says, you know why Shemayim is called Shemayim? So it's the Shoresh of it is the word Shom. Yeah. Out there. Now, whenever you have Patach Yud Mem, it means identical. Like Einayim, two identical eyes. Oznayim, two identical ears. So when you have Shomayim, it's two identical extremities. It's only possible by a circle to have someone standing at one point and all the extremities on all sides are equidistant. That only works with a circle. Right? In any other shape, your extremities won't always be equidistant. So the Rabbeinu Shlomo called in the Torah Shomayim to let us know that we live in a globe. It's round, the world is round. It's not a circle, it's not flat. Sorry, it is a circle. It's not flat, it's not a square, it's not hexagonal. It is round. Shomayim, wherever you go, it's equidistant. Anyway, that's why it's called Shomayim. So they thought this Shomayim is going to implode. We've got to go. And they thought also they'd make cuts in the heaven to let water come down. And then they were worried, you know what, the Rebbeinu brought a marble of water. But after the marble of water, he's not going to do that again because he's got the keshes. But he'll bring a marble of fire. How are we going to stop that? Said Rabbeinu Bachai, they said, "V'naselon Hashem, hoyu anshei afloga rishoyim maskirim b'kol chokhma." They had tremendous intelligence, and tremendous chokhma, tremendous wisdom. V'osu ha'ir v'hamigdal kedei lihinotz me'amabul shel eish. Do you know why they made this tower? They made this tower in order to prevent a fire marble coming to the world. A water marble they weren't worried about anymore because Rabbeinu Shlomo already said he's not going to do it. But they were worried about a fire marble coming to the world. That's why it says v'hamabul mayim al haaretz. Yeah, it was a marble of water. That means it can be marble of other things. Rashi has a three pshat in the word marble. Marble can mean to be mevalbel. It can be to levalos to get rid of. It can be to lahovel to schlep. But there could be another marble. So what did they do? They went and they built this tower to stop themselves. Mikanei shekvar roa avodan oelam b'marble shal mayim pachadu lenafshom mehutzuchul ases binyan mokim shem yitzel ahovi marble shal eish. If the Creator now wants to bring a marble of eish and lift it to oelam, sheinot lo mehem, they can get saved from it. And they'll prevent the fire from coming to them inside where they're all the borders of where they're living. Talked about they wanted to make with the Shemayim, put an Avodah Zarah on the top, put a sword in its hand to show that they've made waged war against heaven. They were going to use Koichas Elyonim. They'll take something which is part of the Yesod Ha'esh, something that is flammable, or something that is will attract the fire, or will deflect the fire, so that it will go there and won't come into their city. They know how to make that the lightning will only strike and at one place, and it won't go to the other. So they knew this already. It's a Tosefta also in the Sefer Shabbos. They bring down here, there's certain things which are darkei emori. If a person puts barzel, a thing of iron, in his chicken coop, or near his chicken coop, so that if lightning were to strike, it will go to the iron and not to the chicken coop. So it says, if he does it stam, he puts iron in there for some hocus pocus, it's going to be this darkei emori. If he does it because it's a way of deflecting the lightning when it comes, so they won't strike on his chicken coop, then it's okay. It's not darkei emori. So he says over here that they were hugely advanced in their yediyas and in their chokhmah, and actually what they did this was to build something that would go all the way up to the sky, so that if there was going to be a marble of eish, they would through somehow their iron rods or whatever they were going to use in order to be able to deflect it, so that it wouldn't affect them at that time. So we're talking about people with tremendous toichas and tremendous chokhmah. Sorry?
Good sprinkler system.
Yeah, yeah. with tremendous harm. And that's what they did. So I think the Medrash says also that the tower, half of it sunk, half of it got destroyed, and a third of it sunk, a third of it got destroyed, a third of it was left. And anyone who ascended that last third would look down and see the column, would see huge palm trees that looked like tiny ants. That's how tall and this was only a third of what was left. So way, way above where planes fly. They ascended huge, and they started in Bovel, which is the lowest place in the world. They really wanted to show that we can go from where this is where everyone from the Marvel ended up, because Shenina ruled the Bovel.
If they were so clever, how come they couldn't realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu could overcome everything that they thought of, or was this part of their kafira?
Yeah, so it's part of their kafira, and part of, interesting you mentioned that, well, the Rav Shimon Schwab says that, and it's based on Rav Shimon Shafal here, so it's a similar mahalach, but he says, in the end of the day, they said, V'nase lonu shem. We want to advance the agenda of mankind. There was a tremendous achdus, there was a tremendous unity, there was actually uniformity, it's absolute communism to the nth degree, and it's going to be for the furtherance of mankind's agenda. But in such a case, there can't be any religion. Because as soon as there's the religion and you believe in a higher power, then we can't further the agenda of mankind for mankind's sake. Because we have to be subservient to something else, which is what communism ultimately was promoting or demoting. Emunah. And that's what they were doing over here. So the Rabbeinu Shalom said, Ner dono, you know what, I'm going to take my shechina and let it actually permeate a little bit. They'll start to suddenly feel there is a Rabbeinu Shalom and they'll have questions. And that v'nov l'sfasam, they made this type of shprach that they have withered away from nevela, from nevola. It withered away mimela. Not that he made it happen. It mimela happened because the shechina came there. But the Shem Yishmael says an amazing thing. He says, you know, we're talking at the time of the Mabul and we're talking at the time of the Dora Flog. He says that there's a medrash that says, Bikish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Litin Lohem LeDora HaMabul Arba Dvarim. The Rebbeinu Shem wanted to give the Dora HaMabul Torah, Yisurin, or Torah is only Nikim Yisurin, Avoidus HaKabonis in Tefillah. V'loi Bikshu. But they didn't ask for it. The Rebbeinu Shem wanted to give it to them. If they davened for it, they could have got it. But they didn't ask for it. Because you see, it brings a pasuk that they didn't ask for these things. So he says, if the Rebbeinu Shem wanted to give them these four things, they had the capabilities of it, they had the kelim for it. So we're talking about a dor that was immense in its potential. But when the potential is there and it's not filled, whenever there's potential for kedusha, if it doesn't get filled with kedusha, then tumah comes in. And we know that's what happens. A person is nifta, the kedusha of tumah come. As soon as it's void from the neshama, then that's what happens. She said, that's what happened to the Dor HaMabul. They actually were so strong. We look at them and we say, what? They fell to that low. The answer is, there was a keli that was that deep, that could have been filled with kedusha, with Torah, with tefillah, with yisurin, avodas karbonas. It could be filled with everything. And it wasn't. But if you've got a keli, it's going to get filled. The question is, what's it going to get filled with? The Rabbeinu Shalom said, this here, we have people who have kelim that can be filled with absolutely everything. They didn't request it, they didn't want it. Memele is going to get filled with Rab. And ultimately, that's what happened, and that's what happened with the Dor HaMidbar, sorry, with the Dor HaMabul, and a certain way with the Dor HaFloga. And he says, and the truth is, that every Yid has to know that the stronger a battle we have with the Yetzirah, the more potential actually we have. So I'm wondering, the closer we get to Mashiach, the closer we get to Mashiach, the closer we're getting to the most immense outpouring of Kedusha there's going to be in the world. So the neshamas that are now getting ever closer have to be ready for it. Maybe that's why the world, the challenge for us of Tumah in the world is increasing as well. Because the kelim that we have are immense. They're huge. We're the door of Ikvus of the Mashiach. We're about to be Makav B'nei Mashiach. So it's huge. And the same is at the beginning of every year. When we've just had a Tara through the days of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, so we've got now this huge potential for Kedusha that we can actually ride on. The Kochos of Tumah at the beginning of a year are immense, trying to chap on to fill the kelim that have been made. We all made ourselves kelim ready to be makabel, to do mitzvahs, to perform mitzvahs, to learn Torah, avodah, gemunas, hasanah. We made ourselves kelim ready for that. It needs to get filled. And we've got to fill it with, this is the time where we've really got to fill it with Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Hasadim. Perhaps could be why the Rebbeinu Shalom B'Chochmas has made that these are in places where Torah is meant to be kept in the Northern Hemisphere, in Eretz Yisrael, the nights are now long, and that's what the Rambam says, in order to learn more Torah. Because that's what we need to fill, that keli that we've made. If we don't fill it, what happens is it's going to get filled with something else. But to know as well the chizuk, that the challenge, that any challenge posed to us, the stronger the challenge, the more potential that means we have. And Klal Yisrael will always have more challenges than any nation in the world. Because that's what happened at the time that we're talking about. We could see from the genius that they had beforehand, the Mefarshim write that they didn't know the chokhmah of, before any discovery is made. Before any discovery is made, there's often a lot of. Shlomo HaMelech says this, always prior to Chochmah, there's a lot of sichrus, a lot of foolishness. And the truth is, most discoveries come after a lot of... Yeah, which is, it's trial and trial and trial. And then, you know, sometimes it's absolute fluke. And sometimes it's, well, yeah, it's educated fluke. But there's a lot of sichrus prior to a discovery. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo did that as well. Here you see that there was potential for so much. The chokhmah of coming up with how to build a structure, to how to make bricks. This was something which the Der HaFloga discovered. How to make bricks, and I suppose making a kiln and taking the materials that were needed to make the bricks, and how to build, and how to build a structure that actually would be that size, because that tremendous amount of chokhmah and a tremendous amount of yediyah, and that's, I think we've said this every year, but say it again. Yonah, the Yonah was the bird that eventually Noach sent out to try and find a place to rest. And to see Hakalu Amayim, if the water had stopped. The raven, it seems to be, he knew wouldn't go far anyway. But it was to see if around there was something. When he sent the Yonah, it was to see if there was somewhere where the water had subsided. And the Mefarshim tell us that Yonah has a very unique koyach. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos says, there was a Yid called Elisha, during the times when the Romans made gezeiros that we weren't allowed to keep mitzvahs. And he made himself a small pair of tefillin, and the Roman soldier noticed he was wearing tefillin, started to chase after him. Didn't take long for the Roman soldier to catch up with him. He whipped his tefillin off and put them in his hands. And the Roman soldier said, "What have you got there?" So he said, "I've got kanfei Yonah. I've got wings of a Yonah." So he said, "Open up, let me see." And he opened up, derech nes, there were kanfei Yonah in his hands, and from that he became known as Elisha Baal Knafayim. So the Gemara says, why did he choose kanfei Yonah? He says, because Yisrael are nimshalu liyona. You see, Klal Yisrael are compared to a yona, Shlomo HaMelech in Shir HaShirim, and other places compares Klal Yisrael to a yona. And he says, ma yona knofeo megino yisraelu. Just like a yona, its wings shield it, so do Klal Yisrael, our mitzvahs shield us. A little difficult to understand. I mean, its wings of a yona don't really shield it. They're not that strong, and if it was going to be attacked by anything of prey, those wings are not really going to help. But Tosfos says something very interesting. Tosfos says, there's a Medrash that says, a yona has a very unique ability. It's a type of a bird that can fly using just one wing for the energy to fly, to create the thrust and whatever it needs to be able to go through. And the other wing, it just uses as a navigator.
Who says?
The Tosfos brings this from a Medrash. When the wing that it's using to fly gets tired, it alternates. Now the other wing it uses to fly. And this one, it just keeps out there to helping it to glide. But the energy is used the other one. And then when that one gets tired, it alternates to the back. It never needs to stop flying. A yona can go and go and go. Yona motza boi manoyach. On Shabbos, a yona doesn't fly out of him. Doesn't do any malocha. Doesn't eat from mina mechubra, only mina tolu. There's different things in the Medrash. But a yona can go and it can fly and it can fly and it can fly. So that's Klal Yisrael. So how does that now fit into the Gemara? Its wings are such that it never needs to stop flying. Like, it's a megin for it. So do Klal Yisrael with their mitzvahs. I think it's a beautiful thing. You know, we have a huge amount of mitzvahs that we can do. We've got to be very frank and honest with ourselves. And sometimes we get a little tired of a particular mitzvah. We lose the energy for a certain mitzvah, the cheshug. The natural feeling then, the Torah kicks in and says, "Hey, I've got you guys now. Yeah, you're not enjoying mitzvahs anymore. Yeah, you're losing your connection with that Kodesh Baruch Hu." Chas v'shalom. Alternate to another mitzvah. Glide with that mitzvah. So instead of now being managed with a huge amount of energy in that mitzvah, I'll glide with that mitzvah, but I invest energy in another mitzvah. And when that one loses its freshness in another mitzvah, and glide with that mitzvah. Klal Yisrael never need to stop flying. And that's what David HaMelech said, Mi yitem mi ever kayoina. Who will give me the wings of a yoina? A ufa of a shkina. I'll fly and fly and fly. Till eventually I'll get to be shaykhin next to the shkina. And that's the muscle of Klal Yisrael. We go out now into our long winter with that yoina that's being sent out of the table of Chodesh Tishrei. And we're going out into a long winter, into the dark nights, into the cold time. And, we've got an avoda to do. It's a long time till we get to our next mokum or shina, till Hashem Mashiach or something coming. But before that, until we get to Pesach, so what do we do? We've got to be like that yoina. Mitzvah to mitzvah, one mitzvah to another mitzvah to another mitzvah. Learn a bit about this mitzvah, then get energy from another mitzvah, glide with that mitzvah, but never ever stop flying. Be'ez Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata tishma and the koyach that we should continue flying, flying, and flying.